chapter 1, verse 44. We do welcome the sisters of Alpha, Kappa, Alpha, Sorority, Incorporated. Yeah, yeah. Y'all stand up, all my wife, sorority sisters, all actives. Stand on up. This is their International Day of Prayer. To be a first lady, you got to be an AKA, must be, huh? Amen. Amen. Welcome to our church. Amen. If you have your Bibles, put the scripture on up for me. John chapter 1, 44, 45, and 46. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael, say unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip find Nathanael and said unto them, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I want to talk this Sunday morning about when good comes out the hood. When good comes out the hood. Again, I don't use the term old school. I use the term right school. But if you're old enough to remember, there was a television sitcom in the late 1970s called Good Times. It starred a father, James Evans, wife, Florida Evans, and their three children, J.J., Thelma, and Michael, and their nosy neighbor by the name of, I'm in the right crowd. Good Times was a sitcom before sitcoms that was situated geographically in Chicago, Illinois, during the time of Ford administration leading up into the Carter administration. It was tough times for African Americans right after the Civil Rights Movement, right after the Black Power Movement, when all that power had dissipated. And Good Times was about a family that was very, very poor. And that is why the title of the sitcom is so ironic. They had very hard times and lived in very hard times. But the title of the show was Good Times. And they showed America and they showed us that even when you live in poverty, even when you live in hard times, if you are a good family, you can still have good times. There were some of my bougie friends whose parents would not let them watch Good Times. They didn't want their children or to see what poverty looked like and what a family had to go through when they were living in good financial times. But I want to thank God that I didn't have parents that sheltered me or hid anything from me, that watching Good Times was what good was good and as important as watching the Cosby Show. And this again showed us how you can have good times even when you live in the ghetto. Well, you might not know it, but the city upon which our Savior lived for many of his adolescent years was the ghetto. And I found that out for myself last year when I went to Nazareth and toured the Holy Land. And this is a picture of the city of Nazareth as of last year. And again, we still got some seats. We're going ISOM to Israel in 2020. I get you the cost later. You can just write a check. Or you got it in your front pocket. We're going in October 2020, Joy, taking the delegation of saints to the Holy Land. And so we got to go to Nazareth, and I got to see Nazareth. I got to see the village or recreation of a village upon maybe which Jesus lived and see a synagogue upon which he might have worshiped again. I got to see it for myself. And Erica, I got to understand why Nathaniel raised the query, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was poor. Nazareth was on the back streets of society. It was inconsequential. It was unimportant. Nothing good had ever come out of it. If you have read your Bible, you know, and Luke, the people in Nazareth were very violent. As a matter of fact, when Jesus one day went into the synagogue in Nazareth and began to read the Bible and talk about what the Bible says and how he had come fulfill the prophecy, they tried to kill him. They took him to a cliff, and they wanted to throw him over this cliff. And we went to this cliff where they almost threw Jesus over the cliff. And this cliff is where they were, and the cliff is about to come up right now. And you see this cliff where they almost threw Jesus and tried to kill him because the people of Nazareth were very violent people. And so that's why they raised the query, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They had been looking for a Messiah. They had been looking for someone out of the lineage of David. And because he was coming out of the lineage of David, they expected him probably most likely to come out of Jerusalem. They probably expected him to come out of some big city. They probably expected him to come out of some prominent Pharisaic family. They did not expect him to come out of the loins and leans of two peasants. Now, I know what you're saying. Wasn't the Father God? Yes, we know that the Father's God, but the people of Nazareth didn't believe. You'll get that when you get home. There wasn't no Markovitch show. Ain't nobody believe Mary when Mary told them that it's Immaculate Conception. Ain't nobody believe her when she said, we have not had and engaged in any sexual activity and God did this. You can tell your OBGYN that all you want to. So they didn't believe her. And they did not believe and trust in the family. And therefore the family had problems. And for one of those reasons, we know that they moved. They left Nazareth and they went to Capernaum. The people in Nazareth didn't like them. They did not trust them. They had problems with them. And I found out while I was in Israel that even though we claim Nazareth, well, Bethlehem to be the birthplace, Nazareth to be the place where he lived, his ministry was in Capernaum because that's where he moved because of his problems in Nazareth. Let me put a quarter in the meter and let you all know, many of your parents have sacrificed and are living up here in this school area, in this district, to make sure that you go to a good school. And one of the things that bothers me, there's some members of our community who don't look like us, who mad that our superintendent looked like Rick Ross. They don't like it at all. When they made him Principal Spring Valley, they went in the paper talking about he don't understand the socioeconomic climate of our school. You know what that means. And what I had to tell them was, like, you got to understand that no matter what your color, no matter what your creed, no matter what your ethnicity, even no matter what your sexual orientation, all of us want the same things for our children, a safe environment and a school where they can live out their God-given destiny. We want the same thing your kids want, but what you're scared of is that we're going to take your kids' scholarship because we're smarter than y'all. Oops. Take that out the tape. Take that out the tape. Play and sacrifice and work two and three jobs so y'all can act like fools. Y'all got all the resources in the world. iPads, Chromebooks, writing on the wall. We had chalkboards. We had to erase the wall and knock the boards together and not clean the boards and write never take it for granted. They moved to Capernaum. They moved to what they thought was a safer environment for their son. Because this woman by the name of Mary knew that her son was special. It was Mary who knew that he had a miracle conception, that he had miracle powers. It was Mary who at that wedding in Cana asked him to perform his first miracle. Like you all, when Mary asked him to do something, asked him to do some chores, he talked back to his mother. Thank God that she wasn't a sister, because there's no missing of a backhand in the Bible. And he says, "Woman, what do I have to do with thee?" She could not have been a sister because he didn't pick himself off the floor. I wish I would look at my mom and say, "Woman." But he was smart enough to do what his mama asked him. And because his mama asked him to do something, the people were blessed. Some of you all have problems with authority. And that's why I have never read the book or watched the movie 50 Shades of Grey. Because I don't believe in no 50 Shades of Grey. I believe that there's black and white, and there's right and there's wrong. And I know you all live in a Google society where you have been taught to question everything. My kids go to a school called Center for Inquiry where they're asked to question everything and learn on their own. And I know they have problems when they get to talk out of turn and do what they want to do up in school, but then they got to come to my house and abide by my rules. And you have to respect authority and the people who have been placed in charge of you. And respect the fact that your parents want the best for you at all times. I know they push you. I know they prod you. I know sometimes it appears that they're getting on your nerves. But just like Mary in the Bible, they know what they have birthed. And they also know what God is trying to birth in you. And that there's something special in you. And it's up to each one of us as parents, Isaac, to make sure that everything God has placed in you comes out of you. That's why we're tough. That's why we're hard. That's why we're sacrificed. That's why we make sure you're involved in extracurricular activities, to make sure that you broaden your horizons and that everything God has destined in your life manifests themselves in your life, and that you realize that sometimes the only enemy in your life is not your haters on Instagram, not your haters on Twitter, not y'all not on Facebook no more, not your haters on Snap. The only haters really, and the worst enemy that you can ever have in life, is your inner me. That greater is he that is in each one of you than in he that is in the world. And that even if you are raised in an environment that is not conducive yet to your God-given destiny, move. And I ain't talking about move your physical address in every aspiration and every aspect. I'm sometimes talking about you've got to move your mind. You've got to move your heart. You've got to move your spirit, because some of you, even up here in the suburbs, are living in some bad situations, because we know everybody up here in the suburbs of the state, right, by 67%, they're in poverty. How many people get free and reduced lunch up here? 54% of people who we think got money are in free and reduced lunch. So don't you ever think that everybody up here past Killian Cole got money. Section 8 don't care where the check go to. But there's one thing that you can count on. And that's what God has placed in you. And what God has placed in you, just like that water that was poured out of that wedding in Cana, has to come out of you. And in spite again of what your environment might look like, in spite, again, of some of the things that you might have to go through, in spite of being bullied, in spite of being teased, in spite of hearing your parents argue all the time, in spite of coming from a divorced family, there's something good that God wants begins with getting a good education. It begins with doing the best that you can in school. It begins with you knowing that there's something greater from you. And if it means I've got to move from Nazareth to Capernaum, that's what I've got to do. Because good can come out of the hood. And I don't know if you want to admit it, but everybody ain't lived behind the gate all their life. Everybody ain't been driving the Lexi, that's the plural of Lexus, all your life. All y'all ain't been where you are right now with your name on your door all your life. All of y'all haven't had all the degrees that you had all your life. Some of y'all are one generation college graduates all your life. Some of y'all don't come from Wadmala. Some of y'all don't come from 96. Some of y'all don't come from, hey, nobody want to be a witness because you done got bougie. But some of y'all parents can't read. You had to read. But Mark, we know good can come out the hood. Now, y'all ain't going to believe it, and that's fine. I was raised in the hood. I know you, I knew it was going to be a hater. We had a nice house, but it was in the hood. 3134 Wynwood Place, Columbia, South Carolina, 2204, in Bonneville Estates, right off Bonneville Road. It was called Bonneville Estates, but it wasn't no estates in Bonneville Estates. The neighborhood I grew up with was, again, sandwiched by Waits Road, Reed Street, Germany Street. Okay, now you believe, hater. Right next to Bonneville Estates was Jaggers Terrace and W.A. Perry Middle School. On the left side was C.A. Johnson, Saxon Homes, and Allen Benedict Court. To go to work every day, I had to pass through Saxon Homes, Duck. Make a right on Reed Street and a left on Harden to get to my job. I was raised for 33 years in the hood because my dad was the state representative of the hood. And if you want to represent the hood, you got to stay in the hood. I was raised in the hood and saw it every day of my life, even though we were blessed. Even though, yeah, I'll be honest, we had the biggest house in the hood, we still live with our people and understand what the people were going through. But I am here to tell you that good things come out of the hood. There was a young boy who was raised by his grandparents. Parents couldn't raise him. They had their own issues, so he was raised by his grandparents. He was raised in Allen Benedict Court. Graduated from that school called St. Johnson High School that nobody respected and liked or thought had anything good going to come out of it. But that boy had a vision, and God had put something in that boy. He went on to Francis Marion University. Came back and went to the University of South Carolina, got a PhD, became a guidance counselor, became the principal of a local high school, middle school. Then he became the first black principal of Spring Valley High School, and now he is our school superintendent. Good things, my friend. I said good things. Come on now. I said good things come out of the hood. And see, just like me, he's just a boy from Columbia. It doesn't matter where you come from, but you can do some great things. Amen? You can do some great things. It doesn't matter how your circumstances start off with, but if you know that God has put more in you than the world can take away from you, you can achieve all things in life. I got one more story. This boy wasn't raised in the hood. He was raised in a nice neighborhood, but his parents didn't come from a whole lot. Mom came from Charleston. Dad was born on a dirt road in Hopkins, South Carolina by the train tracks that when the train came by, the house shook. I think they might even had an outhouse at that house. But he went on to South Carolina State. She went on to South Carolina State. He went into the military, had the military pay for his medical school education, graduated from Meharry Medical School, became the first black neurosurgeon in the state of South Carolina, sent two of his daughters to Spelman. One son went to Morehouse. That boy from Morehouse got a scholarship by Michael Gumbel. That Gumbel boy got a scholarship of $25,000. He began to day trade while he was in college, and he flipped $25,000 to $200,000. His dad gave him a little money. He opened